What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, July 23rd, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside at Tim Geddes.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm great. We're back from San Diego Comic Con.
Back, baby.
Back in the swing of things
here. Tim and Greg action.
That's what I see. Do you know what I mean? Before we go any further, huge shout out of thanks to one Snowbike Mike and Cheeks Jr. for killing it on Thursday and Friday's Kinda Funny Games Daily. First time I've watched a Kinda Funny Games Daily in a long time.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, watch them, see how they're doing over there. They're great. Everybody knows that. They're amazing. We saw all your love on Twitter for them. We saw it on Reddit. We saw it on the YouTube comments. Everybody says, hire those guys. And to that I say, up your Patreon pledge. You know what I mean? Call me out. Fucking double your Patreon pledge. See what happens. You know what I mean?
And shout out to everybody supporting us out in San Diego for Comic-Con.
Yep, people we're back for San Diego Comic-Con.
People coming through Pool Panic.
It was Rocket League.
Skybound.
It was Skybound. It was Pool Panic. It was, of course, the Marvel Games Hall H panel.
Yes.
Kinda Funny Best Friends were everywhere.
Swarming.
Thank you for all of your support coming out there and hanging out with us and supporting us in our gooniness. Mm-hmm. First time in like 7 years I've caught a cold at a convention. I feel like I fucking got duped.
I got.
You know what I mean? I'm always like, wash your hands. Just wash your hands. And I wash my hands all the time. I feel like I didn't miss a beat. Apparently, somewhere along the line, I missed a beat. Got
it
sick.
Happens,
here
man.
I am. How are you, though?
I'm great.
You came back early on Saturday. Saw your friend win an MMA cage fight.
I did. It was pretty crazy, man.
I saw the videos.
Very, very scared.
Yeah.
You can find the video on my Twitter of at least the end of it. My friend, very small man, going up against a Goliath.
Yeah.
And he took him down.
He slew him.
Made that motherfucker tap.
That's what I like to see.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was actually alarming watching the thing because the ref doesn't see the first tap.
Yep.
And as a just not even like a fan, but as a casual observer of MMA, I'm like, that's super dangerous.
That's scary.
The dude taps and the ref's like staring at him. Then it finally reverses to the other side to see his hand where the dude taps again. Like, I'm getting fucked up. I'm going to die. Help me. Great job, ref.
We celebrated so hard, Greg. We went to a Japanese restaurant with so many people.
Yeah.
That they ran out of rice.
Okay, that is unheard of.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay. What do they do? They go next door, get the Uncle Ben's?
No, they kind of act like it was our problem.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Give me more rice? No, we got none. Get out.
Yeah, it's like, all right. Well.
Sashimi for days now.
Yeah.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. KindaFunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, concerns, and everything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record it live on Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to KindaFunny.com/YoureWrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the entire record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. It is party mode week here at Kinda Funny. That means that we have this show called Party Mode. It is not a podcast like so much of everything else we do. Instead, it is a Let's Play multiplayer series over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames that we hired Andy to edit. And if you glanced at it and never really watched one, you might just say this is a traditional Kinda Funny Let's Play. Four guys being morons. But that is true. But Andy goes through and edits all sorts of cool stuff on it, and we want more people to watch Party Mode, so we are sure of shoving Party Mode down your throat this week. Might I suggest today that you go watch the newest one, Rocket League, where the LaCroix boys take to the stage and dominate, some would say.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Fusion Frenzy from a couple
Fusion
weeks
Frenzy
ago.
Fusion Frenzy is a really good one.
Yes, if you remember Halo Combat Evolved, the demo that came with that game, we played it. And it was a lot of fun.
It was. I did like that one a lot.
What a garbage game.
But a lot of fun.
Good content.
Yeah. So check it out. Party Mode, an awesome thing. I'll continue to give you recommendations throughout the week. Then it's important to point out that next week is Kinda Funny summer break. What does that mean? It means no Kinda Funny morning show and no Kinda Funny games daily. If you haven't noticed, we've worked every holiday this summer and this year because we're bad at taking time off. So what we're doing next week is being even worse at taking time off and taking the days off of the morning shows to get ahead on XC and review, get ahead on Party Mode, get ahead on all the content we need to do, and then also go to RTX, which you can find out about on the internet at some
point.
A bunch
of people over there.
Yeah, of course. We'll promote RTX. We'll promote that later in the week.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There's too many things
too much stuff going on. To be clear, just the live shows won't be happening. That means the Game
Party Mode
show, Party Mode, Games Cast, and
XC Interview.
XC Interview will all
continue. The YouTube content happening. Yeah, just the daily shows here not going to be happening while we take a breath. And then today's sponsors are Hims and MeUndies, but I'll talk about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Four items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Number one, a huge one.
Huge.
I woke up late today. Tim got to rock my socks with this when I walked in the front door. There are rumors, ladies and gentlemen, of the next Xbox. And
it begins, Greg.
Not even one console they're talking about. They're talking about two.
Xbox 2 and 3.
Let's kick over to Brad Sams at Thrott. He's talking about Codename Scarlet, this being the next Xbox, and as I said, two different versions. Jumping into his lengthy article that you should go read because there's a whole bunch of content I've cut out. First, Microsoft is building a traditional console that you would expect from the Xbox brand. I think it's important to point this out so that those who prefer to have their hardware locally will have an option with the next generation Xbox. As for specs for this device, it's still not known at this time as it's the early days of development for the piece of hardware. But what I am starting to hear more about is the second device, a streaming box that is designed to work with the company's upcoming game streaming platform. The cloud console will have a limited amount of compute locally for specific tasks like controller input, image processing, and importantly, collision detection. The downside of this is that since more hardware is needed locally, it will raise the price of the streaming box, but it will still cost significantly less than what we are accustomed to paying for a new next-generation console, which should help expand the platform's reach. When it comes to games, all Scarlet games will run on all Scarlet devices, meaning both consoles will be first-class citizens, and there is not expected to be an awkward, quote, this game only runs on the non-cloud Scarlet. The cloud version of Scarlet is further along in development cycle than the traditional console that will be released in 2020. This device does make me wonder if it has any relationship with the Xbox Horbart streaming service that was nearly released 2 years ago, but canceled late in the development cycle.
That will also be released in 2020. So I was looking at both of them coming out 2020.
Sure. Did I fuck all that up?
You just missed also. Okay. You said that will be released in 2020.
Yeah, they're saying both are coming out in 2020, but the cloud version of Scarlet is further along than the regular old here's everything in one box Scarlet 2020. Microsoft has become quite confident in their streaming solution, and now that they figured out how to bring it to market after many years of development, they are pushing forward with those plans. As I said, a lot more in there. I streamed out a lot of stuff there where they're talking about latency, they're talking about this, they're talking about how this is the promise of the game streaming thing. They showed an employees only yada 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 thing forever and ever and ever ago. What do you think?
I don't know, man. This is big news. It's weird because, you know, I remember being at IGN during the PS3 360 era where it's like, will there be another gen? And if there is another gen, is it just a cloud-based thing that whatever? And it was like, well, the internet's not there yet around the globe. People don't have the same access that people like us in San Francisco do. And this kind of solves that problem if there is the traditional system and the other system. But the thing is, okay, the first class citizen thing that they said, is it going to be kind of like the Switch where you're still playing the same games, but there's docked mode and undocked mode where there is differences and concessions that need to be
made.
That's
what I'd imagine.
Yeah.
No, I think that's 100% what it would be.
And there's a YouTube video that goes along with this as well, that the writer,
Brad
Sams wrote, or made, where he's discussing all this stuff. And he also mentions, he's like, that the streaming one could be as cheap as $100 to $125.
Yeah.
That would be insane.
Yeah. You know, I think that's the point of it, right? Is it is trying to get that casual consumer a way to get into what is the Xbox ecosystem and get in there and see it. And I think that this sounds crazy on paper, but then when you start really thinking about it, it makes more sense, right? Of like, wow, that's really cool. You and I would still buy the next big boy Xbox. Like, we're gonna buy the really clunky extra money. I want it to be awesome, and I want it to be as beautiful as it can be, and I want all these different things, and I want to be able to play in an airport. I don't have to worry about connecting to the cloud all the time and da 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 da. But for so many other people who just are gonna, you know, they enjoy GTA but they don't care if it's in 4K or something, they're gonna want to look at this and see if they want to get it. The people who want to just play Madden, the people who want that next generation Xbox but don't necessarily need all the bells and whistles.
I just think that it's crazy that, you know, we're seeing this kind of turning point that we saw with phone devices about 6 years ago, where smartphones became just phones. And it's just like a mainstream thing that majority of people have either an Android or an iPhone. And all of a sudden start getting like when apps, once the iPhone went from like, there's no flash to, oh no, now there's flash to apps being a thing and people understanding what apps are, to now just, if you don't know how to use apps, it's weird. Like even moms and dads like understand that shit. And then you add on Netflix and you add on just cable slowly going away and more people being accustomed to just having these subscription services.
People owning things but not owning them.
Exactly. That, all of that, and the DRM not being that big of a deal to the majority of people, it will always be a huge deal to people like me that like to own things, even if it's digital. I think that the, like all that adds up with the addition of Xbox Game Pass and the service-based things that Xbox has been kind of introducing this generation. That's a great way to come out of the gate and really make a dent and really put get a foothold on next generation and getting a bunch of people in on Xbox, playing games on Xbox, and paying consistently.
Well, I guess, you're bringing up Game Pass, which I think is the one part we've left out of this, right? The article, again, mentions it later in the full-blown article talking about what that means and how that's been a test bed and yada, yada, yada. I would imagine, right, as cheap as solid-state storage is, that this thing ships with, even the streaming device, enough to save a couple of games. So that if you're running Scarlet, whatever the system is...
Does it say solid-state?
No, I'm talking right now about what I imagine is happening.
Because solid state's not cheap.
I'm talking about being able to store something in there, memory. Yeah. I'm not a computer person. Is that a solid state? What's a USB? How do I put a hard drive in? Is that solid state?
And then there's hard drives.
I'm talking about there will be memory inside of this to download to.
Yeah.
There'll be enough to store a few games, and you'll be able to run a Game Pass-like system, right? Mm-hmm. Where, yeah, you just down... You're not... Maybe it isn't as you're streaming everything all the time. You can download, you know, 2-3 games, store them on there, play them that way, and then kick them back up.
Yeah, man, that'd be awesome. Like that would be more Switch-like in how it performs. Where I mean, I guess that it doesn't have the streaming thing, but it's like you're limited on the memory, but you can download games, and then you can also get expandable memory. I'm sure that would be a thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
As well. Yeah, man. It's interesting. I'm kind of torn because I feel like we're not there yet.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this is too ambitious.
Well, that's why I think it's 1 foot in, 1 foot out.
Yeah.
Is that if you are living in the middle of the country and your internet sucks, okay, here you go. If you're on the road all the time and you don't want to have to worry about it, there you go.
It's weird that that's a solution that I've never thought of. Like, that sounds so simple.
Yeah.
On one hand, I'm a little concerned that it's not all in. Like, I feel like we should kind of wait for it to be, we're ready for this.
But if you're not, you need those with any kind of new bleeding edge tech, right? You need people to be the early adopters, and you need to have it be, you're slowly moving the needle. It's rare, I think, for something to come out of the gate and blow everyone away and not be there, right? And even like you look at the iPhone dominance, right? That's because there was enough people to buy, you know, first gen iPhone to go out there and show it to people and explain that's awesome.
Yeah. I feel like that's the job more of the GOGs and stuff like that out there, and and Steam and you know, those type of like situations being the early adopters, where it's like, yeah, it's the guys that prefer Windows over Macs, you know?
Yeah, but so you're talking about like Steam being the fact that you don't own games, that you're streaming things and whatever?
Cloud-based stuff and all that.
I feel like that's just too, sure, and that's why I think Steam's run away with it and why you've seen the death of PC boxed games, right? Mm-hmm. It's the fact that that audience gets it, but that audience has its limits. I shouldn't say it's rare. In my experience, it's rare for me to go to someone's house and then want to show me something cool and say, come into my PC room or come to my computer. Like, let's go back here and show you this. It's like when I go over and they want to show me something on console or on TV or Netflix or whatever, it's on their giant screen TV. And I feel like when you bump up against those walls, that only goes so far. My mom's never been invited into someone's computer room to see how cool it is that they can stream this and not own this. Whereas if there's a little box underneath my TV, my mom's like, what's that? I'm like, that pack of cards, you know what I mean, is the new Xbox. And I stream, and she's like, what are you talking about? And I go on there and I turn it on. I'm like, boom, see? And it's like Hulu. It's like Netflix. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's really interesting. And that will motivate my mom probably to buy an Xbox, but it will give her a little bit of a knowledge base so that when one of her friends who's trying to buy their kid another system, you know what I mean? Like, that's how it all works, is that you need these little pockets of early adopters to come out, spread the good word, and then have other people be able to evangelize it.
Yeah, I mean, if they pull this off, it's going to be industry shifting. This all sounds like
it could be. It's still a gamble. It's still very much a gamble. It's everything you're talking about of the internet's not there for everybody. We know, as somebody who's, I'm always evangelizing just buying digital versions of games, I'm well aware from the audience that nope, I want my hard copies and I want it all on my shelf and I want the collector's edition. Mm-hmm. This is a gamble for them, even though it sounds and cutting edge in the way that you hope what would happen for them is that the box costs so little to make, and like what they're talking about, you know, what Ben's talking about in his article, in the fact that, all right, cool, this one's further along for 2020 than the real box, because you figure for Scarlet streaming, it's just going to be streaming technology. That's already pretty much, Brad, that's already pretty much going to be locked into what it is, so they can have that ready to go. And if it's cheap enough, you can do it and you can try it and take a loss and whatever.
I don't think they'll take a loss on this. I think that if this
works...
Do
you think it'll be a success?
I think if it works, it's going to be industry changing. Like, that's the one kind of like very important key element, because PlayStation Now is an example of it not working and also being muddled and weird.
Yeah.
I feel like they come out there and get the price down to, there's no way this thing's 125. I don't think.
Yeah.
That would be just fucking
bonkers.
Nuts.
Yeah.
But if they get it down to 150 or less, like that is, that there's no way that even with just the people with good internet, that's not going to be a major, major success.
It's interesting to talk to you about it, because at the beginning of this topic, I was like, you know, you and me, we'll buy the next big boy Xbox or whatever. Right?
Yeah.
And that's, and I don't mean big boy in terms of like, this one's the kiddie version, this is for children. I mean like the fucking meaty hoss that's going to weigh a bunch of pounds and have all this shit. I was using us more in the hardcore gamer sense, right? Whereas honestly, I don't know if I think I'd be interested in this if it was 100, 125 bucks. When I look at my Xbox One right now and I think of the amount of hours I've put on my Xbox One, really, like, right? Like, mm-hmm. It's for a few exclusives here and there, right? So why not get this one thing? And like, what am I losing? What is it? If I'm downloading it to the hard drive inside of it and I'm using it like Game Pass, does it matter? I'm never playing more than two or three games on my Xbox at a time. So if I was using it that way, that'd be fun.
I still think that it would have, I mean, we don't know the dock situation that they would implement here, but I still think that there would be concessions that would have to be made in terms of resolution and frame rate. And
sure, but I'm that's the whole thing, is I'm not that guy. We're eventually going to talk about Fortnite in a little bit, because some kid was asking me about, like, some kid tweeted me yesterday, I'll just bring it up now, of just like, hey, like, you know, how he's like, how can you play Fortnite on the Switch? Like the graphics and this, and I'm playing on Xbox. And I'm like, I just don't care. Like, you know what I mean? I'm playing it and I'm enjoying it.
Well, if you don't care, then this sounds like it would be for you.
Yeah.
Like totally. And especially if it's,
but I think, and even like we're talking about, like, you know, like resolution and graphics, I don't think it's going to even be like Fortnite on Xbox One X to Fortnite on Switch. I think it's going to be less than that. I just don't think it'll be 4K. Which I still have a 4K TV.
It'll be, I mean, you know, I don't know. Hold on. I don't think it'll be that big of a jump. I think it'll be more similar to Switch docked versus Switch undocked.
Undocked, yeah.
Which,
you don't think it would be like streaming a movie versus watching a Blu-ray?
And I mean, that's the thing too. Is, well, like,
that's a significant difference.
It is, but at the same time, and I know this is just playing with resolutions and shit, so it's not a fair comparison, but it is, because not everything is equal. Streaming 4K using Google Chrome HD or whatever, Chromecast HD, it looks great.
Isn't that, like, local?
Kevin, you need a mic.
And it's, if that's...
they can hear me.
That's over on Netflix, right? If you are using Netflix on your Chromecast HD, watching a 4K HDR, whatever, it looks fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
And it looks better than Blu-ray. Granted, Blu-ray is 1080, but it looks better than Blu-ray. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. But also, so, like, streaming, but like...
But watching a 4K now, Blu-ray...
Yeah, there you go. That's what I was going to say. Those are two different...
Totally, but with video games, there's not, like, there's the standard. Things are always different. And I still don't think that next gen we're going to see 4K 60 on everything. We're just not there yet, and I don't think we're going to be for a while. So it could be that difference, but I don't know. This is all, it's really crazy. And I do think that there is a very solid business plan, again, if this works, that Microsoft gets in. We've seen it time after time with console makers losing money on hardware because they know they're going to make it up in software.
Yeah.
If they can come out here at a major profit for this thing on a hardware front, or at least even just a, like, hey, we're breaking even, but it's so cheap that it's just getting more people in that are going to pay for Game Pass. And, like, let's say that 10% of their player base that is now expanded pays monthly or whatever it is for Game Pass.
Yeah.
And then there's a bunch of other people, the 90% still buying.
I mean, that's what that's what Brad's article brought up again. His article's lengthy, so everybody go check it out again. Brad Sams, is the fact that, yeah, even right now with Xbox Live Gold, with Game Pass, with, like, there's a bunch of different subscription services that are already being used on Xbox. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if it is that you're putting out the streaming console, you assume from the get-go there's going to be something they have to buy at the jump, which would probably be Xbox Live Gold, to get in there to do this.
If they came out with this thing and it worked and there was a better version that, like, solves people like me's problem who want the resolution, want all that stuff and don't want to fuck around, combine Xbox Live and Xbox Game Pass into being one service, that is how you fucking come out of the gate next gen.
And, like, that's what I'm talking about, right?
They still need their first party titles. Like, all the problems that they have, they still need to solve those things. And we've seen the baby steps towards that with them getting all the studios. I don't know. This is very exciting news to me because I don't expect Sony to be doing something similar to this. You know?
Mm, yeah. Yeah, that'll be the big test, right? Because I think that's what we've been talking about for so long here of, like, Xbox has been building this generation since they turned the ship around a foundation for next generation.
Yeah.
To jump off and be like, look at all these awesome products and services we offer you now. And to have this streaming box and an option for people who don't want a streaming box, it seems like that'd be great.
I've compared the Wii U and the Xbox One so often just in the sense of, like, they understood their loss, and you can see them kind of being like, all right, we're gearing up for next time.
Yeah.
You know, we understand where we're at. And to see what Nintendo did with the Switch, which was find a hole in the market and be like, we're going to do this thing, and it's going to work. And then it worked.
Yeah.
If this works,
yeah,
it's going to be such a major success.
Yeah.
And this is the type of thing that I feel like could get them caught up to the dominance Sony has. Maybe not overtake them, but at least be in.
It's the gamble that gets people excited about. New tech is always exciting. You know what I mean? Especially if the box, the streaming box, the streaming Scarlet comes out and works better than any of us could possibly imagine. If you do play it, you're like, holy shit. If I didn't know better, you know, maybe I would think of this or that or the other based on graphics, but this is awesome. And it's only $99.99. It's only $129.99.
There's a big problem, though, with the fact that video games are interactive. Like, that means that the lag is much more unforgiving,
sure,
and much more noticeable. Watching a movie, if the quality is just a little bit less or whatever, if sure, there is some sort of thing like the stream, if a stream is coming delayed
for a second, it comes along.
Yeah, it's like people are used to that. Like, we've grown up now watching YouTube. Like, that's just a part.
You know, it'll pop back in that resolution.
Yeah, it's like it'll be back. You know, it'll be fine. Video games don't have that luxury, and maybe we can learn to be okay with that.
Yeah.
But then there's the option for people not to be, which is good.
But that is what you're talking about too, where people are always concerned when we play Fortnite Switch versus PC or whatever, right? Of like, how, okay, if I'm playing on Scarlet streaming versus Scarlet, somebody's not streaming, they're in download and they don't have that momentary lag, that momentary latency, yeah, that second it takes me to move the crosshair, is it over?
And that's the biggest problem, because streaming on Netflix, if something gets delayed for a second, it only pauses your movie going experience.
Yeah, yeah.
If a game lags for a second, it fucks up your inputs.
Yeah.
You know? Like that's why GOG in the early days had so many issues. And PS or PlayStation Now is constantly an issue. And
yeah.
People don't talk about it. People don't care because it didn't work. Does it work now? I don't fucking know. No one's talking about it.
Well, when that download thing's happening, maybe we'll see what happens. We go read that Brad article. Like I said, he addresses some of this in there of like talking about what Microsoft's been trying to work on through the rumors he's heard. Again, this is all rumor and speculation. We'll see if Xbox Scarlet is a real thing.
He's very respected, though. He knows his shit.
Okay. Number two. This is a short one for you. Something we always talk about. Rocket League has revealed its drop rates. That's right. Psyonix over on their blog put up the following. Hello, everyone. Ahead of some of the major changes coming to Rocket League later this summer, like the introduction of Rocket Pass and our revamped progression system, we wanted to take a moment to talk about drop rates in our crates and keys system. Highlighted below are those rates for all five customization item rarity levels found in Rocket League's crates, along with odds for painted and certified attributes. A rare item is a 55% drop, a very rare item 28% drop, import item 12%, exotic item 4%, black market item 1%, chance of receiving a painted attribute 25%, chance of receiving certified attribute 25%. Note, these drop rates have been the same since our crates and keys systems launched in September 2016. I have nothing to add to this because I don't know shit about any of this. Mm. But I know when we were talking about loot crates and all that shit, that was always something a lot of people were wanting. You know, if you don't want it to be gambling, you need to share this information with people of like what they're actually entering into as they try to get into a crate system or anything. So that was interesting to toss out there for Rocket League people who have been wondering. Number three, Bethesda's detailing the Fallout 76 beta, kinda. Starting in October, we'll be selecting people who have pre-ordered the game from a participating retailer to enter our beta, B-E-T-A. I didn't put it in. Break it. It's like, they're saying like break it.
Break
like,
it, pull it, touch it.
Something like that. We'll start small and grow over time as we prepare for launch. Be sure you've read our FAQ for details on how to redeem your beta code and other important details. To clarify, everyone who pre-orders at participating retailers will be included in the beta. So basically the news there is October, the beta starting. But they put some words around it. And then number four, guess what, everybody? Vita lives. 2018 has the highest game completion rating of PS Vita's lifespan. This is from Rebecca Valentine at GamesIndustry.biz.
How?
People like me. I'll let Rebecca explain. As game card production for the PlayStation Vita winds down just about everywhere but Japan, a very particular subset of players is helping sustain the handheld. Completionists appear to be embracing the Vita's easy trophy collection, effectively Monsters. Determining the system's top games in its twilight years. True Trophies reports some interesting statistics for the Vita's lifespan, showing that since the system's release in 2012, average total completion time of game releases has gone down, while completion percentage has gone way, way up. The graph below, and it's this giant graph showing all the stuff, takes into account the top 50 games released on the system each year based on overall player count. And yeah, this year's just like a runaway, but it's been on an upswing in general.
Do you think it's because of whatever the stupid-ass 1,000-point scored?
Oh, yeah, top-rated trophies?
Yeah.
No, you're a fucking noob. Top-rated five-star, whatever the fuck it was, only came to PS4. Please, oh, come on, show some things here. That is what Rebecca's... I cut that graph, but her next thing is, like, compare this to year one when the games were, like, Uncharted, Golden Abyss, this, like, big, meaty, long games, whereas this one, it is all tiny little indie games that are getting completed. With cross-buy games allowing trophy hunters to complete two lists on two consoles with one pop, it makes sense that quick, cheap, trophy-heavy, easy games might invite the bulk of software financial success on the Vita as new releases become fewer and farther between. At any rate, for trophy hunters, it's the one handheld currently viable for such endeavors, meaning the completionist community may enable the Vita to cling to life a bit longer than expected. We've been expecting that forever.
Vita will never die.
Exactly. Vita's always going to be around. I got to go play that other one that came out last week before we were leaving. Destroyonaut or whatever. It's the same thing. Like 15-minute platinum and then you can double the list over on a PlayStation 4. Very excited. Very excited.
Proud of you, Greg. Two more platinums for your list.
Very stoked. Speaking of lists,
yes,
I haven't heard a good long one in a long time. If I wanted to know what games came to the Mom and Grop shop, where would I go to?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday. Big long list today.
Out today. Life goes on Switch.
Cool.
That's fucking it. That's the only new release for you today. Of course, Tuesday's coming tomorrow.
Gary and I had some fun.
Oh, yeah?
Last week, where there was only a couple games. There was like five games. And I pulled up the launch trailers for each of them just to kind of skim through. And like before we did it, we kind of like guessed what the game was based on the title.
Oh, that's nice. Okay. Okay, let's do it right now. Life Goes On.
Life Goes On.
Don't show it to a yes, Switch. Kev. Life Goes On Switch. I'm going to say, you want to go first or how does it work?
I was going to say it's a narrative based like game, like adventure type game.
Okay.
Shitty.
Okay, sure. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to say Life Goes On the Nintendo Switch is a 2D side scroller. And I'm basically kind of stealing from Flow. Like you're a smaller organism in this thing that you're going through, collecting different objects, getting a little bit bigger, trying to overcome different obstacles in this weird world. It's not our life. It's not life on Earth. It's life on some other planet.
Okay.
Kevin, do you have the Life on Switch? Life Goes On Switch.
I can't find the trailer because there's some music video that
Matches
it, but it's very different.
Life Goes On. Can you show it here? Life Goes On. It's the webpage here. Life Goes On. Done to death.
Oh, shit. I played this game.
Oh, did you?
I actually love this game.
Scroll down. What is it? It looks like it's knights and stuff?
Yeah, so what happens is that you, like, die and your body stays there, and that, like, you can use that to help you finish the, like,
puzzle?
The little puzzle. Yeah.
Oh,
it was really
puzzle
fun.
Puzzle platformer.
Oh,
side scroller though, I win.
Looks
I was closest.
You were closest for sure.
There you go. There you go. New dates for you. Fortnite. So here's some Fortnite stuff. Playground mode returns on July 25th, and then Fortnite Founders. If you have that Founders pass, get legendary war paint and Rose Team leader outfits with the V5.1 patch update. That'll drop July 24th, which brings us to Benfinity.
Benfinity.
Benfinity wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you can to be part of the show and says, with no cross progression on Fortnite, I have to make a decision. My wife and daughters are playing on Switch. I've got probably $50 to $100 in skins and last season's battle pass on PlayStation 4. I'm inclined to abandon my progress, my awesome skins, and all of my purchases and buy this season's battle pass and content on the Nintendo platform to play with my family. Totally abandoning my PlayStation locked Epic account. That's kind of absurd, but Sony is really forcing the decision. My questions. Number one, how much attrition do you think Sony will see this season due to Switch enabling cross progression while Sony hasn't enabled it? And then number two, am I going to be sad about the step down frame rate and textures? I put this question here, Tim.
Yes.
Because I feel this is another great ongoing example. And I wanted to tweet this morning about this, but I couldn't figure out a way to tweet it and not sound like, baby wants this cookie. You know what I mean? I don't like just tweeting negativity with no context.
Yeah.
Even with 280, it's
even
a hard thing.
If you want that cookie, I get it, dude.
You know, even with 280 characters, it's not great. Twitter isn't a great place to make a nuanced argument. I wanted to make the argument that even though it's fading into the background, the fact that PlayStation has still planted their feet and has not allowed, I'm not even talking about crossplay. I'm talking about cross progression. I'm also talking about the fact that it's still that if you ever use your Epic account on a PlayStation, it's still tethered there and you can't do anything about it. There's little things like this, right? Fortnite founders get legendary war paint and Rose team leader outfits with 5.1 on July 24th, right? Mm-hmm. I have a Fortnite founders pack on PlayStation. So I can't unlink that to get it to my Switch to get this, right? Like, and that's annoying to me. It's very fucking annoying, right? That I have, there is content I'm not owed, but I should have, that I can't get because of this. And as it all fades away, as you know, I'm just invested in the Switch and don't even care that much on the daily anymore, whatever. But then stuff like this pops up and it's super fucking annoying.
Yeah, I'm sorry for you.
It's okay.
Get
baby his cookie.
You know what's weird about cookies? Nick Scarpino recently has had a thing for cookies, and like he actually is eating cookies,
but they're carbs.
They're sugar, there's all the stuff. Like, this sounds like a not Nick thing,
yeah.
But he wouldn't shut up about a fucking cookie all Comic Con, and then I caught him eating a cookie.
Brought him cookies on the Skybound stream, he didn't eat them,
and he didn't eat those.
Real quick, I think that there is a workaround to use the PlayStation account with other things that I heard of this weekend, where if you have a PlayStation account and it's linked to a PC account as well, you can do that, and then you can use the PC account to play with Xbox or Switch.
How confident are you? Because that'd be a huge change based on the nightmare everybody's been locked in.
I mean, I was told someone was doing that.
Who?
It was one of the people I was playing with.
Okay. Huh?
Yeah, like it was.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like secondhand information or third-hand information. You're talking to the person.
No. I think Christian was his name, hanging out with us. He pulled out his PC and he was playing with that.
Okay.
With us on Friday. Doing that.
And that account had been linked to his PlayStation previously.
I believe so.
Now, are you sure you're not?
This is kind of funny.com slash you're wrong. Someone was going to know about this.
Ask Snowbank Mike. Why are you getting all mad at me?
Because you're interrupting this entire flow of conversation for something you're not sure about.
I'll call Snowbank Mike.
Thank you very much. Maybe they changed it while I was gone, but that was the whole thing, is that they had not changed it, that you could not unlink your PlayStation account and all that jazz. Anyways, though, back to Benfinity's questions. How much attrition do you think Sony is going to see due to this Switch cross-progression stuff, Tim? Do you think that this season players who were on PlayStation are going to Switch? Or at least the Xbox ecosystem?
Honestly, I don't think it matters at all.
Yeah?
Like, I think they're going to lose people. They're going to gain more people. It's not one for one, but I feel like it's going to be such a small number of people that actually leave that would have been super invested that no one's going to notice.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to be a hard number to track for sure. I think that, and it's also that normal thing we talk about that you watching or listening to this show are not the normal Joe Blow gamer. Mm-hmm. Where we're, you know, the people who are super into this and super angry about it make up a small percentage of the people who are playing Fortnite that do care. I do think there are people like myself, that's the whole thing is I was never super invested. I didn't have $50 to $100.
I feel like you are such a
special use case
that is the person that would be most mad at this.
Yeah.
Not most mad, second most mad, because most mad would be people that are hella invested on PS4 but also want to be invested on Switch.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know that exists, because the people that are super invested on PS4, they're going to play on PS4.
Yeah.
Because it's a better experience. The Switch users, I think, are a subgroup of Fortnite players that are the second, third, fourth, fifth wave of Fortnite players that are enjoying the experience they're having. And I feel like you, because you started on PS4, you'd rather have everything. But it's like, I don't think you would have been playing back and forth otherwise anyways, you know?
I think I would have.
But I don't think it would have been. I still think that the Switch would have been your... You, when you think Fortnite, you would still associate it with Switch.
I think I would associate it with the way to get me in. It's similar to what Kevin's doing. Kevin's playing Switch here at the office and then playing 360 or Xbox One at home.
That's true. That's exactly what I was going to say. I started playing Switch here, and then when I got home, it's all set up. I've got the headset all going, so I just switch over to the Xbox One, and it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I feel I'm the same way, where usually it'll go is that I watch something with Jen at home on the PlayStation. And then it's like, all right, cool. I'm gonna play Fortnite, and I see it on the crossbar there. And I'm just like, man, turn off the PlayStation, turn on the Switch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if it was one button tap in and out, I'd be into it. Into it. I guess I could watch stuff on Xbox, but then I got to turn on the Xbox and update it. I don't know what the hell's going on over there. And then number two, are you going to be sad about the step down frame rate and textures? If that's something you care about, yeah. I mean, it's definitely, Kevin, you can speak to it better than anybody, right?
I mean, so my biggest thing is that I don't have a Switch Pro controller or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
So I'm playing handheld, and then when I switch over to the Xbox, oh my God. The Xbox controller is so much better than that.
Is that the biggest change you're seeing, though? I mean, like,
It looks beautiful. Like,
yeah.
It looks better. And it's one of those things where it's a subtle change. Also, not that this matters, but the loading screen, you know, when we pop into the island, if you're on Xbox, you pop in first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, is the frame rate drastically different?
I'm not the kind of person that could answer that.
Okay.
I enjoy playing more on the Xbox. If I had a choice, would I have an Xbox and a giant TV around all the time? Sure.
Sure.
You know, that 65-inch like makes life a lot easier to see things and do stuff.
Well, yeah, because you're talking about playing off your Switch.
Yeah,
like,
I play it off the Switch. Like,
why? So you don't have a Pro controller. Why don't you carry around like the Joy-Con grips and stuff? Or is that not good enough either?
I can't mentally handle that sort of, you know.
Sure, no, I don't name it.
Playing like this? Sick monster would do that.
You slide them in and then you have the little.
Sorry, yeah. I have tried that. I have that at home.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Why haven't you bought a Pro controller yet?
You know.
Because it's
$70. I have the Xbox.
Why? No, down now. It's down.
Is it?
Yeah, last time I bitched about this, somebody hit me up and like, here's a link for $50. I'm like, oh, fuck.
But Miller, why spend
$50
when
maybe it was a sale.
With the ease of crossplay, I can just go on Xbox.
Oh, no.
That is the reason.
Sure. Okay.
And gotcha. When I'm here, I can use the controller here. Also, I've gotten used to playing with the sides on there.
Okay.
So, whatever.
Okay. Let's keep going through new dates and stuff. Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate is getting Breath of the Wild DLC at launch on August 28th. Candle, the Power of Flame comes to PlayStation 4 July 26th. And Astro Boy Rescue Mission, a promising PlayStation VR game platformer that I played and enjoyed, is coming out on October 2nd. What'd you find for me with this?
Pro Controller is still listed as $70. On Amazon right now, you can get it for $64.
Ah, okay. It must have been a weird sale when I was bitching.
Crossed out.
Cool. Tim?
Yes.
It's time for reader mail.
Hell yeah.
First, though, I'm going to tell you we have two sponsors. The first, Hims. There's a problem. 66% of men lose their hair by 35. And the thing is, once you notice, it's too late. Do something now with 4hims.com. 4hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, and more for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. Well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. Prescription solutions backed by science. Tim, I'll tell you right now, yes. Nick and Andy are using it. Mm-hmm. They have done it. They have signed up.
Just today, Nick got more of his gummies, and he's a big fan of them.
They love these gummies for it. They send in the photos. The doctor gave them back feedback. They did this thing. They talked. They got the creams. They got the gummies. They got all these different things to keep their hair and keep going like that. Be like Nick and Andy. Right now, my listeners can get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. Go to forhims.com/gamesdaily. That's forhims.com/gamesdaily. forhims.com/gamesdaily. Our next sponsor is Me Undies. You definitely heard me talk about Me Undies before. You know they're all I wear. Mm-hmm. You wearing yours right now, too?
Of course I am.
Well, let me see what I put on today. I don't even know.
I got the colorful polka dots.
Christmas
today.
Lights. I'm wearing Christmas colorful lights.
Colorful. I just got some new ones. I got jellyfish.
Oh.
Jellyfish all over.
Nice.
Now guess what,
Greg? What? They sting.
They glow in the dark. Oh,
that's even better. That's
Gia enough. Was very scared for a second.
I'm sure she was for a number of reasons as you lumbered at her in those underwear in the dark. You can get incredible underwear sent to your door with MeUndies, meaning no more hunting around for the perfect pair at a crowded store and eventually settling for good enough. And if you're already part of the MeUndies fam like I am and Tim M., tell your friends about it through their referral program.
Tim-am.
They'll get a discount and you'll get store credit. It's win-win. Still not sure? Well, MeUndies has a deal for my listeners. First-time purchasers get 15% off their first pair of MeUndies and free shipping. That's 15% off plus free shipping and a guarantee that you and your MeUndies will be very happy together or you get your money back. Mm-hmm. Get your butt over to MeUndies.com and treat yourself. Get 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee by going to MeUndies.com/gamesdaily. That's MeUndies.com/gamesdaily. Mitch writes in with the first question. Mitch wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, I'm assuming y'all have played Smash Brothers by now. How does it feel playing with the Joy-Cons? I'm assuming this is how Nintendo is demoing it, and I'm curious if it is reasonable to not go find some old GameCube controllers.
So, Me and Nick got to play more Super Smash Bros. Ultimate at San Diego Comic-Con. Yeah. In addition to that, when I got home a couple days ago, there was a big tournament going on, some Smash tournament that Nintendo actually brought Smash Ultimate to, and I watched hours of Smash Bros. Okay. footage. And there was a lot of footage of people from Comic-Con. I was just like, I just had it on. I was looking at it. I just love seeing all the little changes they're making the characters.
Yeah.
I cannot believe how big this game is going to be, and
how much content,
how much changes are being made, like how much it is not just a port. It is so much more than like Mario Kart 8 Deluxe to Mario Kart 8.
Yeah.
Like this is, it's going to be a very special game.
It's going to be me.
And anyway, I love that. I'm going to give more thoughts about playing Smash on Gamescast this week. But to answer your question, so far, Smash Brothers Ultimate has only been played by people on the Pro Controller.
Oh.
No one has played it in portable mode. And obviously people on Nintendo have. I'm saying like publicly, it's never been demoed in handheld mode, tabletop mode, any of that. No Joy-Cons, no GameCube controllers, only Pro controllers. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you worried about it?
About?
In Joy-Con mode? Playing with Joy-Cons?
No. I mean, it's not going to be ideal, but it's going to work. You know, the thing about Smash Brothers is everybody's just so used to the GameCube controller.
Yeah.
But once you just shift it a little, your mind a little bit on it, it's like, it is just the same control scheme.
Sure.
It's just having that giant A button in the middle is what people are used to.
Yeah.
For like 2 decades at this point. So
we got to relearn.
We got to relearn. And I feel like the Joy-Cons is going to be fine for just quick matches, but no one's going to competitively play that way.
Okay.
It's going to be way better than the Wiimote. It's going to be way better than, the gamepad, you know.
You mentioned playing it at one San Diego Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
Why not Pete writes in
Why not Pete?
To kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Happy Monday, hosts. It seems like Nintendo had a pretty big presence at Comic-Con this year, along with Sony, Capcom, and others. Have you noticed a shift towards games at this year's Comic-Con? Or are games still predominantly secondary to comics, movies, and TV shows at the show? Thanks. Why not Pete?
No. I also feel...
Which part? No. No, you haven't noticed a shift towards games?
Shift towards games. Definitely okay. Not. I mean, over the last decade, yeah. You know, yeah. Games have a presence. I'd say it's about equal to a lot of the things you just said. Comic-Con has changed. Since I've been going, I think I've been to about 8 now. Like, 8 years ago, the panels were huge. And when we started seeing all the announcements of Avengers and, like, the first wave of... MCU and DCU and all of that. It was like there was just so much news coming out.
Yeah.
Now it's like everybody, like in the same way that in the video game industry, E3 doesn't need to be the only place people announce video games. And everyone has their own, like Bethesda has its own YouTube channel. Ubisoft has its own YouTube channel. They can deliver their own message. I think we're seeing that with movies a lot. And the fact that Marvel straight up wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know, HBO straight up wasn't there in terms of panels. We're seeing the announcements kind of shift to their own events. The show itself has always kind of been like walking into a giant
hodgepodge
of Hot Topic, Amazon. And right. Like, it's just like a store where there's just like a wall of t-shirts that you could just buy online.
Yeah.
But then there's like a lot of lines for exclusive toys and exclusive this and exclusive that. But there's always been video games. There's like Nintendo's always had a presence. PlayStation's always had a presence, but there's not announcements being made.
The thing, I mean, for me, right there with you. I think this is my 11th or 12th Comic-Con. I forget. But it's kind of like the Matrix where it ebbs and flows, but you always get back to the same point. Because I remember when I first started going, where on the side of the hall where Funko Pops are now, you know what I mean, on that side, that's when you used to walk in the front door, PlayStation used to have a huge activation there, a huge footprint there, where it was you walked over and played stuff. That's the first time I ever used the PSP GPS they were demoing over there and all this shit. Like, and the Telltale had this very tiny card table. It was very funny across the way. It was before Walking Dead or anything. They were showing me Strong Bad and Sam and Max. But then I remember it was a big deal that year PlayStation didn't come and didn't have anything there for. I was like, what the fuck? And then you go to get to this year, and it's not in the same spot, but a huge activation over there where they're showing Spider-Man and they have a bunch of games and it's walk up and play. And then they have their own gear store a ways down across from Xbox and their gear store over there. Everything just changes. And I think I felt like the presence was there this year in for video games, and it was being shouted about, but that's because I think PlayStation has a Spider-Man game. There is a reason that it's like crossing over outside of just showing an Infamous game there or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that'll ebb and flow again, where it's going to go from this being a big deal to next year, maybe it's not as big a deal if they're there, or maybe it's a bigger deal. You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't think that's on Comic-Con. I think it's just how many events there are. It's
sure.
The ebb and flow of Comic-Con and PAX
yeah.
and Gamescom and Paris Games Week. And it's every year we kind of see Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony kind of pick and choose where they're going to be
right.
and how they're going to be there. Yeah, I don't know. Like Nintendo, since I've been going to Comic-Con,
they've always had an offsite
thing. Their offsite thing at the hotel at the Marriott next door. And they're just whatever games they have, they're showing off.
Yeah.
You know, and like when it was the end of the Wii U era, yeah, it was Mario Power Tennis or whatever.
Yeah.
But now it was Pokemon Let's Go, Pikachu and Eevee and Smash Brothers.
And if like, you're, you know, you mentioned here Capcom has always got a big thing. They've always got a big presence at Comic-Con, mm-hmm. like what usually because their fighting games are so popular and something there. It's really about crossover and how it goes. I think, you know, maybe PlayStation appears to have a bigger presence and probably did have a bigger presence this year. I still say it's because of Spider-Man, because it is. Now you have, you know, a healthy portion of the audience showing up and cosplaying as White Spider. You know what I mean? Like having that there and having that mean something and have there be announcements at the Marvel Comics panel about the tie-ins to that and the Spider-Verse and all that.
And I guess that's the bigger thing. We always talk, especially on our other shows, on the Kind of Funny shows, about how Comic-Con is such a weird phenomenon where if you're there, it's the entire world.
Yeah.
And everything is Comic-Con. Everything just feels like you're in this universe. It's like, how could you not care about every single thing here?
Yeah.
If you're not there,
yeah.
it's inconsequential, with the exception of, oh, here's some trailers, right? You're going to get like 12 movie trailers that are kind of exciting. But in terms of video game news, there's usually not giant things. And I think a good example of that is the biggest game news to come out of Comic-Con, I'd say, is the Spider-Man PlayStation 4 Pro. Right.
Alex Hackney writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Kind of Funny crew. My question is short and simple. Do you think the Spider-Man PS4 Pro will have a more difficult time selling because of the rumors flying of a new console in the next year or two? I think the design for the Special Edition Pro is awesome, and I'm actually kind of surprised it hasn't sold out yet. Thanks for taking the time. Looking forward to your thoughts, Alex. As you mentioned, I know that Cheeks Jr. and Mike obviously talked about this on Friday at my Hall H panel, the Marvel Games Hall H panel that I hosted. We got to announce, the Spider-Man PlayStation 4 Pro, and it's just fucking, I think it's awesome.
Sexy, dude.
You saw it. You were in the backstage with me. You saw it. Sexy. Like glossy top, red with the white spider on it. And I know a lot of people are like, why didn't they have blue on it? Why is it glossy? Blah, blah. It's obviously different structure, different folks.
In terms of the gloss.
I thought it looked fucking rad. And even with the, and, you know what I mean? Like, I like matte too. I thought this worked for some reason.
It definitely works. I mean, it is one of the nicest, special edition limited consoles I've ever seen.
100%.
And because usually they're just such fucking piss poor attempts. Cash grabs.
And that's my thing, is I always want them to keep it simple, and they so rarely do that. Even God of War, which I thought looked all right after a while, but at first I didn't like, but it was still like, there's a lot going on here. And granted, I think it looked better after you played the game and understood a little bit about the symbols and the axe and yada, yada, yada. But sometimes it's overcomplicated to overcomplicate it. Like, this was perfect. Red, white, there, we're done. The controller, red and white. Perfect, we're done. What is your read on it, though? Like, do you think it's not going to sell as well because of all this?
Not a chance. This thing's going to sell so well.
Yeah.
There's going to be a huge spike in PlayStation 4 hardware sales around that time. Like, there's always somebody looking to jump into the ecosystem. There's always somebody looking to upgrade now from a PlayStation to a PlayStation 4 Pro. And I feel like the Spider-Man time is going to be a great time for people, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be a showcase game for the Pro. And it's going to be a showcase game for PlayStation in general. And I imagine that there's going to be a lot of people looking into this. And then on top of that, there's always going to be the much smaller but still very, very rabid fan base that is like, I already have a PlayStation 4 Pro, but guess what?
Yep.
I love Spider-Man, so I'm going
to
do it.
I mean, that was me, right? I've talked and talked about this stupid thing and how I wanted it to be beautiful. And when it was beautiful, I was like, fuck. And then I saw James Stevenson tweeting out the Best Buy link and then the Amazon link, and then Amazon was crashing and blah, blah. I finally got on there and I pre-ordered it. And it was very much that thing of like, I'm doing it. And I'm like, this is not the responsible choice. This is not what I should do as an adult. I'm sure I need to actually think about this. But for now, I just want it taken care of. I don't want it to be that I think about it in like 3 months from now, or not even, God, it's Jesus. 3 months of Spider-Man. How great is that? But you know what I mean? In a few weeks, I think about it. And I'm like, man, I should have fucking bought it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't need it. And I don't know what I'm going to do. And yada, yada, yada.
My biggest problem with those things, and this is just a personal taste thing, I just don't want, no matter how beautiful the console is, I don't want a bright red thing in my living room.
See, I kind of do.
Yeah?
Yeah, I kind of do. I was looking at my PlayStation 4 down there. And don't get me wrong, I love having the black TV. I have a dark entertainment center, which is just a coffee table. I got the PlayStation 4 black, and then I got the Xbox One X black, and then tucked in the back, you can't even see it, is my Switch and all, you know, the dock and all that. And just like, this does look good, and it is going to catch your eye being red. And that's the other thing. It's like, it's in the entertainment system. Why do I care? Like, I don't know. There's a lot for me to wrestle with.
My home entertainment system has such an aesthetic.
Yeah, you've got a whole thing going.
And it's just like, I'm so, like, if Xbox One X had a, I'm looking into Colorware, by the way, and it's like, do I want to invest like this? I don't know. But maybe when we move, I think I might do it.
Because
I'm going to want shit to look nice.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, if Xbox One X had a white version, I'd be like, fuck, do I need to trade in my PS4 Pro and my Xbox One X?
I just feel like I bitched so long about it that I have my money where my mouth is. You know what I mean? Luke writes in with the final question of the day. He wrote in, of course, to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Says, greetings, KFGD hosts. I picked up the Crew 2 over the weekend. As an avid trophy hunter, my first port of call was to check the trophy list, check for a guide, and how active the communities are on PSN profiles or other such sites. Wow. I'm shocked. This game has been out for less than a month, and there seems to be barely a pulse. Do you think this is down to the game not being well received or being received well as it was the original, launched at a poor time of the year, right around E3, or are there just too many games /live games for people to participate in these days? Love to know your thoughts on the topic in general, not just for this game. Keep on loving, touching, squeezing that chicken, Luke from the UK. Parentheses, PSN, LJ underscore Oliver, if any KFBFs are looking to play the Crew 2. What's going on with why you think there's no real buzz for the Crew 2 and there's no pulse for community?
I just feel like there is no room for a fine AAA game.
Yep. Was, with all due respect, and I'm not shitting on any of the developers or time or anything like that, was this a sequel anyone was asking for? The Crew 1, I remember liking in previews, and then it came out and we were all like, nah. Yeah, I never even bothered playing the final version. And I thought that was the end of hearing about the Crew. And then sure enough, here's the Crew 2. And we've done it where rather than, you know, make the world better in terms of driving, it's driving and flying and boats. And I was just like, I don't want to play this at all.
We've seen Ubisoft kind of do this successfully, though, when it comes to like the sequels being a lot better and also just where they're at now with the always on games as a service type thing. Well, like they're good at that.
To put a pin in it too for your where you're going, because I want to hear where you're going. It's also the thing of I didn't talk too much about it because I assumed, like every other Ubisoft game that I don't really care about, that it's going to find a huge community and that there are people asking for it. And like
in 2 years,
in a year, it's going to be like, man, the Crew 2's really pulled it together in a million.
And I kind of doubt that.
Yeah.
With this one, but maybe I don't know. Yeah. And I just feel like this also kind of came out to lukewarm reviews.
Yeah.
Like the difference is For Honor got reviewed well.
Yeah.
And Rainbow Six reviewed well
and had communities behind them pretty much immediately that were like, we want this.
And
we want
that. It grew and got better. I don't know about this one. But
yeah. I wish him the best of luck. I don't think it was a franchise people cared about. And I use franchise because it was based, you know, loosely, it's one IP. I don't think it was a thing people cared about. I don't think it ever set the world on fire with any demos. I mean, it's what you're saying is like, there were plenty of previews. Even Nick played it that one time where he tried to invert the controls or whatever, where it was like, it was fun. It was fine, but it's
the
like,
Crew's a cool idea. And I just feel like, what you said about the Crew 2 just adding too much is like, I feel like they needed to add stuff, but they added the wrong things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
It didn't click for me, and that's why I'm not talking about it or have any interest in playing it. And I assume that's what's happening with us because there's a million other awesome things to play right now. It's what you're talking about is we're in a place where, yeah, you can't be all right. Can't be fine. A 7.0 doesn't do it anymore. There's no downtime.
Yeah.
If you put out a game right now, AAA or otherwise, that's a 7.0. What is going to stop that? What is going to get people to stop playing the thing they're playing that they think is a 10 out of 10 that gets updated every other week with content?
I feel like there is room for sevens on a smaller scale. It's
like Vampire
AAA.
Or Vampire.
It's like I feel the smaller titles, indie titles, whatever. It's like there's a fun you can just have with it where the stakes are not as high.
Yeah.
But for a AAA games as a service type game, you can't. Like it's just there's too much money behind
it. Is the
that.
Crew games as a service, you think? I mean, I know it's an online thing, you're playing with other people. Are they doing the whole thing of like we're
I'm sure that's
you?
The goal.
That's the plan.
I mean, I am talking on my ass here, but like knowing Ubisoft, I'd be very surprised if that wasn't the case. Like even something like For Honor, it's like
well, yeah, okay. Yeah, okay.
Right. Like For Honor,
For Honor, I definitely think it's a game as a service. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah so
get the iPad for you.
Thank you.
There you go.
Oh, appreciate it.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD, giving me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read here, the best friends come and find you, and everybody plays video games together. Today, Mikey Van needs help on Xbox One. His Xbox Live username is Van HHH. So Van, like that. But it's Van Triple H, but it's Van HHH, all one word. Van HHH says, I am looking to get back into Destiny 2. Lapsed player and lost most of my clan mates. Looking to get to max light ahead of the new DLC. I am down to Nightfall and Raid. I am currently 361. 361.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you want to play Destiny with Mikey Van, hit up VANHHH. Tim.
Yes.
We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. What do we screw up today?
Vinay says, hey, Tim, it's called Chromecast Ultra for the 4K version of Chromecast. That is true. I own two of them and they work great. APT4893 says, beta stands for Break It Early Application Test.
Thank you. What?
Someone made.
Oh, the pen?
It was like a throat sound.
Thank you. That? That's what I said.
Don't worry about it. It was a throat noise someone made.
MadMan94 says, Kevin is right about the Fortnite thing, but it's always been that way. You can use your PS4 account to play on PC, which can then cross-play with Xbox, Switch, and mobile.
Okay. I see what they're saying. Correct. You're still blocked from having access to the Xbox or Switch and all that shit. I see. I'm sorry. Thank you, Kevin.
Miss Chop put something in here that's not you're wrong, but I like it. I'm going to read it anyways. Everyone keeps saying the Spider-Man PS4 Pro needs some blue. Think about when it's powered on. And then everything that glows
blue. Then it becomes perfect. Very nice.
Mr. Yasmin says Spider-Man PS4 Pro is sold out on Amazon. It's available on GameStop, Walmart, and Best Buy. That's it.
Wow. Not too shabby for a sick day. Right out of the gate here. Shabby.
Good episode. Solid episode.
I didn't think I gave a good performance, I won't lie. But it's just because I'm sick and
really?
I don't feel good. Yeah.
I thought you were great.
Thank you. No, I'm all hot and gross and I feel like I'm fucking up things that I shouldn't be. My voice isn't good. I got thrown.
You look
Kevin
good.
Threw something up
you got
on the screen,
your good shirt
totally
on.
Threw me. It never happens. I know. I brought the shirt. Hoping that would. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, concerns, everything under the video game sun. Then watch it on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listen on podcast services around the globe. For hosts this week, I have not updated them. I assume they're all in. Tuesday, Andrea. Widow Wednesday. Thursday, Jared. Friday, Tim. Now, I noticed we're recording Games Cast on Wednesday. Did anyone poke Jared about that? Did that happen?
No.
Did they move that around? Okay, we'll need to poke Jared. We'll poke him. Don't you poke him, ladies and gentlemen. We'll get on it. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.